Van Loo grew indignant at how quickly Richmond editors in their newspaper columns and preachers from their pulpits allowed the extremists to co-opt them. She held a special loathing for the well-dressed Southern ladies of the highest education, so eager to hoist Confederate flags from their rooftops, sew fancy uniforms for their officers, and send their men off to war with brave words about killing as many Yankees as you can for me, and returning with Mr. Lincoln's head or a piece of his ear. 2 days after Virginia's secession vote, word arrived of the bloody clash between Union troops and the Baltimore secessionists, resulting in the first casualties of the new war. On Richmond streets, Elizabeth saw joyful young women dancing and celebrating. She noticed that some of the young men's faces were deadly pale. Elizabeth walked home that night, wiping tears from her eyes. Back at the mansion, she fell to her knees, clasped her hands, and prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." She took down the American flag from the pole on the side of her chimney and hid pro-Union memorabilia that she had proudly displayed before in her home. She feared that would not be enough to protect her. She heard that mobs had been marching into the homes of suspected Unionists, threatening to hang them. Loyalty now was called treason and cursed, she wrote in her journal. Men and women who thought like her had to whisper their feelings in the privacy of their parlors. Some secessionists wanted all Unionists in the city driven to the streets and slaughtered. Worried for her safety, Van Loo paid a visit to Jefferson Davis. She could not get past the Confederate president's private secretary, who told her to take her case to Richmond Mayor Joseph Mayo. French visitors had called Richmond Paris in miniature, with its warehouses, tobacco factories, and flour mills crowding the James River bank. The city's commercial and residential center spread out on a long slope behind them to Council Chamber Hill, where, at the city center, the Capitol and its classical columns designed by Thomas Jefferson sat with other government buildings. Gas lights illuminated streets as well as many homes and businesses. 100,000 tons of cargo reached Richmond's river port every year. One seems to breathe tobacco, to see tobacco, and smell tobacco at every turn, a British visitor remarked. The town is filthy with it.